Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo.
Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Innovation Conversations from the Southwest Innovation Expo, recorded here at Sandy Park in Exeter. The title of this episode is Digital Health, which means different things to different people, I think it's fair to say. We're looking at how digital technology can break down barriers to inclusion and enhance our well-being. With me, we've got our special guest, Gareth Allen, who's the Managing Director of Soundview Media, Kira Boyle, the Associate Lecturer for NHS Digital Future Team at the University of Plymouth, and Declan Hadley, Business Development Healthcare for Cisco. Thank you very much, the three of you, for joining us. The interesting thing is, the three of you have never met before, and now you're all on a panel talking about digital technology. Lovely.
Friends already.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the question, what is digital health? And I'm going to start with Kira, because you work for the NHS. That makes me think health. So how is digital being utilised within your particular sector?
Within the NHS, I work for Digital Futures, and we look a lot at 360 filming, VR, virtual reality, AR, augmented reality, and app development. We also look a bit at 3D printing. We do this all to help benefit the patients and the way that they come into the hospital, as well as how clinicians learn. So we try and focus on how they do things and also patient interaction. So I started off as a Plymouth University student, and I got working there through an app that I developed with the NHS and with clinicians and with patients, where it was to help reduce anxiety within adolescents. And the app was a 360 filming of the ward area and the A&E area. And it was just a guided tour to show them around, as well as some interactive bits and the leaflets that they get given, but in a digital format, to try and help show them around the hospital before they actually attend, to hopefully help reduce their anxiety.
I think sometimes we say, oh, the NHS is behind when it comes to technology. That's clearly not the case.
No, so we were one of the first people to start it. So we actually got a funding bid from NHS England back in 2020, and Digital Futures started down in Torbay in South Devon Trust. And since then, we've been creating some quite innovative things.
Great. It's easy for you to say innovative, yes.
Yes.
An area of innovation is within digital well-being. I want to bring in Gareth here, because digital innovation is being used within your sector in some really interesting ways to further inclusion, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I've coined the phrase the Includiverse.
I like that.
And I want us all to be part of the Includiverse. So what I would say to innovators is to think about all of your audience when you're creating things, and to ensure that you use user-centered design at the very heart of what you do, so that we end up creating things that include everyone. We don't have to retro make things that are special for people with different disabilities. And we've, as a business, have been really interested in how we use immersive technology. So similar to how Kira has been working within in the NHS. So in VR, we've used VR to increase access to heritage visitor attractions, inherently quite hard to access if you have reduced mobility.
Of course, yes.
So using virtual reality to at least give people some kind of an experience. So there's an example in the Southwest where we've done that for Giva Timarn, which is in the far west of Cornwall. We've also, it's something about being underground. We've also done a mine in South Wales in the South Wales colliery field. So now we're looking at how we can use augmented reality. So that is what we now call smart glasses, to increase inclusion in cinema for people who are deaf or have a hearing impairment. So it's a system whereby you would be able to see subtitles within the smart glasses at whatever performance you want to go to at any cinema screening, instead of having to wait for the special screening that's generally on a Wednesday afternoon when your friends don't want to go with you. And actually, the benefit to cinema here will be the increased inclusion. And we've calculated that we can get across the UK, you know, annually 10 million more ticket sales. And that's not just about tickets, that's about popcorn as well.
Fantastic. This is really good stuff to hear. Now, Declan, Cisco, it's a name that it's just legendary when it comes to security, access from how things plug into each other, trying to think of this as simply as I can. Where do you fit in within all this? And what's the topic of digital health mean to you?
Cisco is a very long-standing technology company. It's probably one of the most mature technology companies. It's a global company. And because it's been around so long, it has to keep innovating. And I think probably people think of Cisco as switches and network, the internet, those kind of things.
We see them as those boxes in rack cabinets.
Or a telephone on your desk. Oh, it does far, far more than that. So I'm still fairly new to Cisco and I haven't worked in the NHS for many years. I've learned an awful lot about the things we do. But to answer your question around digital health, what is digital health? Digital health is health. Just happens to be a set of tools that enable things to be done differently or perhaps done quickly or to support clinicians, all those different things. It's many, many things. But we shouldn't see it any different from healthcare in its broadest sense. Cisco's involvement, particularly in the Southwest where we are today, is to support innovation to drive the advancement of these new technologies. So in the Southwest, we're looking specifically around communications technologies. How do we coordinate care through some form of coordination centre? Looking at a project with Plymouth at the moment, Plymouth University and the Devon region, and how we can use technology to enable people, in this case, people who are described as frail, how can we help them navigate the healthcare system more effectively, address their specific needs, and ultimately, wherever possible, avoid unnecessary admission to hospital. So the technology is wide-ranging, and what I always say to everybody around technology only works where it works with humans.
Yes.
So technology is brilliant. Technology is not going to replace healthcare people in that kind of way. But technology can play an awful, awful important part in changing the way that you interact with your healthcare services.
Kira, you mentioned that you're working on apps and various ways of the normal everyday person interfacing with the NHS. What does the future look like with regards to that?
As far as app development goes, we are looking a lot more into AI and bringing AI into it. So something that we are looking at is using AI to look at sign language and how we can get that involved into the NHS, as well as other things that we've had clinicians come to us and say that they've had issues with, which is also translation. So we are also looking at the way that maybe AI could be brought into it as well to help with translations. And we're obviously doing all of this quite slowly because there's a lot of things around AI right now and how it is. And we also run deep dive sessions to help clinicians get more into tech. And every time we talk about AI, they always get a bit like, oh, is this going to replace us and everything?
Yes,
I always have to say to them, no, it's not going to replace you. AI doesn't really have any empathy, whereas you guys do have the empathy and that's what we want. Yeah, we are looking a lot into AI and looking into it a bit more. That is some of the ways that we are looking a bit more into app development and bringing it a bit more inclusive.
Gareth, I mean, we've just mentioned AI being utilised with regards to translating sign language and in general translations. This is your field as well, surely?
Yeah, but you have to understand the nuance of this. So if you think about a visible sign language like British Sign Language, like our spoken word, it's very expressive. And how you express yourself when you're using a language like British Sign Language is really important. So how do you get the machine to understand that? So if you were to say to me something like, hello, and I could reply, hello, or I could reply, hello, or I could reply, hello, each of those three different hellos bring with them a whole lot of meaning. So until the humanity bit of AI is in there, I think, you know, we got to stick with maybe some more, maybe traditional uses. So AI is terrific, but it's not ready yet, I think, for a lot of these applications.
Declan, a lot of this relies on good connectivity, doesn't it? We can't access these systems. And certainly what Gareth was talking to us about earlier about viewing things remotely in a 3D immersive experience and the kind of things that Kira and her team are rolling out. We need connectivity in order to achieve this. What challenges are we still facing there?
There is an awful lot of hype around AI at the moment. And I agree with you, actually. AI has a place. So I was listening to something yesterday on the train down to here on the BBC. And AI is absolutely outstanding, apparently, in terms of visual diagnosis. And they're using it in looking at CT scans and trying to identify early signs of cancer. Certain things it does really, really well, which requires a lot of attention, a lot of visual attention in terms of patterns and things like that. So you've got to be very judicious about where AI might work. The other bit, coming back to your question, is in terms of the healthcare system, a lot of frontline staff are still frustrated about how long it takes their computer to boot up, or they can't connect to this service or that service, or there's all sorts of structural issues that really slow things down. And I think you've almost got to get the basics right before you start to talk about some of these more ambitious things. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute we should slow down on the innovation, but actually having a solid foundation. And in the NHS, there's a term called technical debt, which means if you've not invested and got your network working right, or your security right, or your data centres or whatever, all of the gubbins that you can't really see, trying to do some of those more advanced things can be quite challenging and can also lead to frustration for frontline staff. So, and patients themselves, how do you know the applications that you're using are working the way you are? So addressing that technical debt is actually a precursor or a necessary step to driving innovation faster. So you can innovate, and everybody's innovating now, but if you don't get the basics right, you're going to come a cropper later down the line. A lot of the work I do now is absolutely sponsoring and supporting innovation as we are in this region, but actually really kind of getting people to understand that you've got to address that fundamental infrastructure thing, get it right.
I guess you're saying there's probably a fear that there's a bit of a technological or an innovative imbalance in that it's going towards things that are a bit funky rather than the day-to-day. Kira, I'll bring you in here. What are your views on that?
Something that I know that my trust is really, really focusing on is digital knowledge and digital knowledge within the workplace. And we're really trying to roll that out and make that better. We do run quite a lot of deep dive sessions and quite a lot of innovation sessions where we actually bring the clinicians down and we have conversations with them about digital, and we show them all the different digital way things that we can offer and how they could innovate with it and their ideas and how they could drive the digital force. Because everyone in my team, we always claim we don't know anything about healthcare, because we don't, because we're not healthcare trained, but we are digitally trained. So we always try and make sure that every time we're doing a project, we always have a clinician backing it. So then they can give us their healthcare knowledge and the knowledge that they know, and then we can drive forward the digital side of things. So in order to try and keep that quality there, we always make sure that we have a digital clinician involved, as well as us, as well as patients. So we do try and make sure that everyone is coming together for that.
Talking about coming together, Gareth, what kind of crossovers do you think are happening within this conversation? And if so, what kind of collaborations would you like to see happening? Because it seems you've all got something to bring to the same table.
Yeah, correct. So first of all, I think just to close on the AI thing, I think we always have to think about the why. And the why is the most important. Why are we doing this? If you look around this room, you can see some really cool robots and drones and, I don't know, really cool kit. And that's like, hey, we're excited about that. But why? You know, and I think you've got to think about the why first. But in terms of collaborations, yeah, so as a micro business, we are collaborating with the University of Plymouth. The University of Plymouth has given us seed funding to get this project off the ground. And actually what that has done is unlocked other potential. So we've been able to get money for a digital catapult, which has allowed us to do some proper user testing in the northeast of England with our target audiences, and has also allowed us to great partnerships with the Newcastle Deaf Centre and an immersive cinema in Plymouth. So it is all about collaboration. That is my biggest C word for me, is collaboration. And an event like this is a really good place to be, to have those conversations, to make projects like mine become reality.
Gareth, very, very, very good points there. Kira and Declan, for you two, what does the future hold? What do you think?
I feel like the future of digital healthcare, I know we've talked a lot about AI, but I do feel like it is leaning a bit more towards AI, and especially how that can help with scans and getting knowledge back faster. I mean, there are some people over there with a blood testing machine, and they were telling me about how they're going to bring AI into it, so then it could find out if you have sepsis within 10 minutes. That's amazing. That'd be revolutionary and probably save a lot of lives. So I do feel like that is the way that we are going.
Declan?
Having worked in the NHS for many years and been in digital for at least 20, I think we're at the cusp of some radical changes. Whilst I kind of acknowledge the need for the infrastructure right, there's a number of technologies that are coming together, coalescing. I'd pick up on Gareth's point about innovating in the NHS is very hard work. So whilst I'm optimistic, I think there's some structural things we've got to get right, which is enabling a procurement process for innovation for SMEs so that they don't starve to death while they're waiting for their innovation to happen. picking up on Kira's point, I would say that the competency and competence of frontline staff to use digital is absolutely critical to the success, as it is for patients as well, and the public more generally. People have got to feel confident in using these technologies. But that all said, there's a lot of change happening, and I think anybody who's worked in the NHS and has done anything around patient activation or how activated patients are will understand that digital technology is an enabler for healthcare. Yes, there are issues around access, digital inequalities. Technology is actually one of the ways of addressing those things.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to the three of you for providing such a balanced conversation, particularly when it comes to AI. Thank you to Gareth, Kira and Declan for joining us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Innovation Conversations. Recorded by Fresh Air Studios on location at Southwest Innovation Expo, Sandy Park, Exeter, on the 5th of March 2024. This podcast was produced as a joint venture between the University of Exeter and the University of Plymouth. Presented by Paul Philpott. Engineering and video editing by Mark Stevenson. Audio editing by Martin Burgess Moon. Production assistance by Lisa Hartwell. Producers for the University of Exeter, Marina Alto, Georgia Brown, and Andrew Dean. Producers for the University of Plymouth, Rich Adams and Melanie Jones. Copyright University of Exeter and University of Plymouth.